I guess I should have thought about what I was going to say before I hit record.
Too late now.
Well, should I just jump into the business side of things without a clever way to jump into it?
You know what? Cut the nonsense.
Oh, it's a good point.
Get to the point.
Folks, if you would like to support our show because you listen to it and you enjoy it, the best way to do it is by going to the show notes and clicking on our Brainbuster Tea store where you can purchase Turnbuckle Boogie t-shirts or hoodies.
Yeah, no more funny business. Just buy the fucking shirt or the hoodie.
Yeah, because, you know, I made a conscious point when this show started well over a year ago at this point that I don't like ads. I don't like being hit over the head with them, and I don't want to do that to other people. Now, I could at any point. I've got advertisers lined up if I wanted, but I have too much respect for our listeners. But, you know, we need to make a few bucks to buy these mic stands and microphones every now and then.
Protein is expensive.
Oh, yeah, and you need to keep your muscles up because the our podcast would suffer.
Yeah, exactly. So cough up.
Yeah, pay your end of the bargain, people. I'm just kidding. Look, if you like our show, please, a good way to do it is by clicking on those show notes, going over to the Turnbuckle Boogie Brainbuster Tea store, get yourself a t-shirt, get yourself a t-shirt, and look, we made sure that they're actually fucking cool.
Yeah, and they actually are very comfortable. Brainbuster Tees puts out some decent shirts. No cardboard shirts here.
Yeah. Well, we got right to the business. Now let's get on with the show. Let's boogie!
It's funny that you mention ads, okay. And there was something that happened the other day.
Can I give us the intro
first? Please, 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 please.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Turnbuckle Boogie. I am pro wrestling historian Timothy Styles, and with me is pro wrestler Cutthroat Cody Hancock. Continue.
Yes, that there's something that was, it grinded my gears. And so oftentimes when I'm doing things in the kitchen, I will slap on a podcast because cooking in bulk, you're going to be in the kitchen for anywhere like an hour and 30 minutes to 2 hours. So I'll put something on, and I'm actually a fan of Steve-O's podcast. And
yeah, it's not too bad.
Recently, Steve-O had Kevin Smith on, and I think that I'm speaking for a number of people that are aware of the View Askew universe.
I'm familiar.
Yes, I'm a big fan of Jay and Silent Bob. And
I was a big fan.
Was. We'll delve into it. But they started talking about Kevin Smith's heart attack.
Mm.
And Steve-O takes this moment where this dude almost dies and segues it into an advertisement for fucking Athletic Greens.
Oh, right.
And it was just so ingenuine and insincere.
Oh,
and
yeah, yeah.
It almost made me relch. I'm like, what? And I've like got like my hands are like covered in meat grease. And I'm just like, what? Why would you think that this was a good idea to do?
Chris Jericho's podcast is guilty of it all the time, too. In fact, I'm flirting with the idea of starting a new podcast that is only ads.
Yes.
Some of them being real, some of them being parodies.
Yep.
You know, but Chris Jericho's podcast is a lot of like, hey, you know, I want to ask you a question about that time where, you know, the guy body slammed you and you crapped your pants. But before you answer, let me talk to you about Athletic Greens or
yeah,
whatever. And it's like, it's clear that this was done in post and that there's going to be a spot that's about ready to start. And it's like, oh my God, how many times do I got to skip to get by this?
Yeah. And I appreciate it more when the podcaster will actually like get, I think Jim Cornette and Brian Last, regardless of what everybody thinks about them, I think that they have a very fun tongue-in-cheek way about bringing up their sponsors, and they do it as a gag, which I appreciate a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like, it just, like I said, it just took me out of everything, and I almost wanted to turn off the podcast because I'm like, man, that just didn't make me feel good. Like,
part of the benefit of, you know, I live an almost analog lifestyle. You know, I do watch, you know, I am on the internet a little bit, but, you know, I don't spend too much time on social media. I don't watch a whole lot of streaming stuff. I don't really play a whole lot of multiplayer video games, you know, but because of all that stuff, I very rarely see ads, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
It's not a bad thing. So, and don't
get
me wrong.
I'm this close to fucking paying YouTube for that premium business where you don't see any ads.
I use YouTube Premium, but that's just so I can upload videos that are longer than 10 minutes.
Oh,
yeah,
is that right?
And I highly recommend YouTube Premium for sure.
Well, folks, on today's show, I'll be speaking exclusively in the third person.
Oh, fuck.
So Timothy Style says, today's episode is dedicated to The Rock.
And then Cody groans.
yeah, this is an interesting episode. You know, season three, I made the decision that we're going to, because we might not exist past season three. That has yet to be determined. Because you're busier and, you know, I've got my own business going on, but I wanted to make sure we got all the greats.
Yes.
By the end of the season, so that we can say that this podcast, the requirements have been fulfilled, so to speak.
Yeah, we've covered a broad range of topics.
And the interesting thing is, and I've always known this about you since the very beginning, and you've, I assume maybe have known this about me, but you don't care for The Rock. And I thought The Rock was awesome as a pro wrestler.
And I am definitely in the minority, and I'm aware of that.
Sure. But you also, what about inside from the inside of the business? Would you say a lot of people in the industry would also agree with you as opposed to me?
No. I am on my own little planet, and I've always been on my own little planet, and I remember how it made me feel when I was young, and last night, for the purpose of doing research and to challenge myself, I have admittingly have never seen Hulk Hogan versus The Rock at WrestleMania 17.
I don't think I've seen it from beginning till end either.
Yeah. There's a lot of people that mention that match is...
Actually, I take that back. I have seen it from beginning till end, but I don't think I've seen that WrestleMania from beginning till end.
It's a good mania. There's a lot of good stuff on it, but during that time period, it wasn't just The Rock. It was just kind of the main event scene in general. I had all my criteria boxes checked by the opening and mid-card matches, and by the time they got to the main events, I just checked out. Right. And
that sounds like you in a nutshell anyway.
There's a difference now. Like now,
well, yeah, there's a difference now. In the main event, you might get Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay.
Yeah, I try to view things objectively, and I try to remove my opinion from them because I'm very aware of the difference between opinions and facts. And today I'm going to preference this by saying that I will be sharing my opinion, my opinions.
How about every day we're sharing our opinions?
Yeah, but I'm also able to separate my opinion from fact. So I'm going to get some of the facts out of the way before I share my opinions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I understand why people like The Rock. I understand why he was the most popular thing in the world of professional wrestling.
But it's not, I guess, your particular cup of tea.
I also understand the impact that he's made on Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
I also...
By the way, we're completely not even getting into that. It has nothing to do with wrestling.
But I also understand the impact that he's had on the fitness community as well. Mm. So, and that, unfortunately, does have something to do with professional wrestling.
Sure.
And there's there's some things that I am absolutely pro bono when it comes to work hard every day and you'll achieve greatness. But there's also a huge problem within Hollywood and fitness as industries in a whole that I am deeply offended by.
Well, maybe we should start with this ugliness and get it out of the way, then move into some of the more positive aspects.
Okay. So I'll tell you what nut do you want to crack first?
Well, go ahead.
So
since today the court of law, the plaintiff, the the prosecutor, cutthroat Cody Hancock.
Yes. So I almost want to start with the wrestling stuff. So just because it's easy to talk about and the other stuff is a little bit more difficult, I might need more time to form my sentences just in case if I want to
fair enough
protect myself or anybody else involved.
I know what you're talking
yeah
about.
So professional wrestling wise, my wife Casey,
congratulations, who, by the way,
thank you immensely, and we are looking forward to the official marriage soon. She has never seen a match of the Rocks. She has never heard a Rock promo.
This is absolutely insane to me.
Yes, she has only...
Did you marry a 12-year-old?
No, she's in her 30s. But she also didn't watch professional wrestling before she began hanging out with me.
Really?
So she actually...
I mean, I met her before you two were together at a wrestling show.
And that's where I ended up meeting her. We were introduced through friends at the time.
Right.
And... she thought wrestling was ridiculous. She had no idea of what it was. And
well, she didn't realize how right she was.
Right. Well, it's still ridiculous.
Yep.
And I sat down and I'm like, I'm going to sit down before we record this episode and I'm going to do some research and I'm going to try to develop a new opinion, because my opinion changes on a lot of things, right? Things that I used to not like back in the day, I end up loving today. And I was open to the experience of having a different opinion of The Rock. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, it just reminded me of why I didn't like him to begin with.
Sure.
And starting with the promo.
Yeah.
So I have a quote from... Casey,
your wife,
that is as follows. I've never heard someone talk as much about themselves in the third person. It's just weird. I don't like the fact that his promos don't seem genuine and they seem sing-songy. And
we're talking about WrestleMania 17 era Rock.
And that's what we're talking about. And
is it WrestleMania 17?
I believe it was 17.
It can't be. WrestleMania 17, he was wrestling Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Whatever WrestleMania was, Hulk Hogan versus The Rock.
He wrestled Steve Austin 15, 17, and 19, I believe. So I think you might be thinking of 20.
20 was not it. 20 was, it's WrestleMania 18. So 20 was the Trish Benoit, Shawn Michaels, Triple H.
All right.
But I'm not great with dates anyway. But
that's fine.
Regardless, he starts this promo off, and then I kind of dissected it into a little bit of a formula.
Sure.
And I noticed that he followed this formula in a lot of his promos.
Right.
He ends up addressing the crowd that he's in. He goes through the taglines of the millions and millions, and he's anchored all of his catchphrases. You can feel that it is definitely written out as far as bullet points go.
Sure.
And then he breaks off and then goes into an insult comedy routine upon the whoever's around him, whether it be
fill in the blank,
the interviewer, or whether it be who he's about to wrestle or anything like that. And it's so over the top with the facial expressions, and the verbiage is very, very good. He's very well spoken. He's extremely charismatic, but...
Would you say that he was electrifying?
No, I would not.
You don't think he electrified the audience?
He didn't electrify me, but he did electrify them. And unfortunately, for years after The Rock's run, mm-hmm. right, I was always, and it always, it's like a knife in my fucking gut mm-hmm. anytime somebody finds out, oh, you're a pro wrestler?
Just like The Rock, huh?
I used to like wrestling, right. and I used to watch it when The Rock was on top.
right.
And it just makes me fucking groan.
Sure.
And I'm just like, here we go again, right? And it's undeniable that everybody ended up enjoying it. And there was a cavalcade of people that were inspired by The Rock and things of that nature. And once again, I understand why, but it is not for me.
Well, let me interject.
Yeah.
Because there was a reason why I wanted to make sure that we had the date right, or at least the time period right.
Mm-hmm.
By the time we got to Hogan and Rock, the act was fine-tuned.
Yes.
And sadly, in pro wrestling, you know, a lot of, for as long as it's been around, that is the bulk of people's career, is to figure out your, you know, you have an entire career of trying to figure out your act. And then once you have it, it's repeated until it makes people sick.
Yep.
And you know, you do, it's the Eagles, do your greatest hits. I remember having a creative writing class my senior year of high school, and it was brought to my attention the sameness, the unoriginalness of the television show Home Improvement,
mm-hmm.
which was Tim Allen's basically Disney-owned sitcom, and how basically every show was the exact same. And it was pointed out, you know, like, oh, it starts with, you know, here's the conflict. One of the kids is in trouble or whatever. And, you know, it goes from this point to the middle point where Tim Allen has to talk to his neighbor who you never see, you know, half of his face.
Yep.
And then it resolves in this way. And it's really every episode is the exact same. You could say that about pro wrestling in a lot of ways, particularly with the WWE, because they created a formula that worked, and it worked to such a point that they don't realize that it almost stopped working at a certain point, and maybe they should change it up. Because, you know, to a certain extent, pro wrestling, as much as it's a business, it's not a science. It is an art form.
Right.
And art can never be put down into exact science, because right. it evolves and changes with the times, and things need to change. The Rock, as he was coming up, you know, when he came out as Rocky Maivia with all the tassels and all that sort of stuff, you know, they were doing what they thought was right, and he went along with it because he needed a job. And of course, it was wrong as fuck. I mean, that shit was corny as hell for that time period.
Yes.
The
Maivia Hurricane was dope, though.
What was that?
That his tornado DDT.
Oh, did he have a tornado? Did he?
Yeah, it was like a half Nelson catch into a spinning DDT.
Ah, cool. But where things turned around was the development of the Rock character when he was still technically Rocky Maivia in the Nation of Domination, but he started referring to himself in the third person as The Rock, which was a tip, as I recall, from Jim Ross, like, hey, this would be a really heel thing to do. And he's fucking right. And he had The Rock on his trunks and all this sort of stuff. And there was a good 3 or 4 year period where each and every week something new was coming out of his mouth. He hadn't found out the act yet. Right. So every week it was something new, and it was some sort of innovative sort of, bit of language that he probably picked up in a football locker room that he was parlaying to this audience who had never heard this kind of smack talk.
Which is also the reason why it did not connect with me, because I was bullied by fucking high school locker rooms.
Well, he was a heel.
Yes.
You smell what The Rock is cooking.
We're back on heat, everybody, and what a reaction for the people's champion, The Rock!
The Rock says... Ladies and gentlemen, making his way to the ring,
champion. Many folks thought that he was on course to become the next dominant figure in this industry. And with one stroke of a pen, with one statement, Mr. McMahon pulled the rug out from under him. He robbed The Rock of his opportunity at Survivor Series to be in that tournament to possibly be the WWF champion.
Vince, The Rock came here tonight to take back what he was screwed out of, and that is his spot in the Survivor Series tournament. And The Rock damn sure came back to get his position on being the number one contender for the WWF title. Now let's set the people's record straight right here, right now. Vince, The Rock says that he's not asking your candy ass. The Rock says that he's telling your candy ass.
Wow. Uh-oh, business just picked up. Rock, you've got this all wrong. You got it all wrong. This is not anything personal with you and me. It's not personal at all. It's just business. Now, yeah, it's the people's business, which means it's my business and your business, but it's not personal, Rock. It's not personal at all. You see, from a personal standpoint, quite frankly, I have a problem with the people.
They have a problem with him, I think.
Which means, Rock, if I have a problem with the people, I have a problem with you because you're the people's champion. I really don't give a damn about you personally. To me, Rock, you're just another piece of meat on the WWF roster. That's all. I don't give a damn about the people. And it's pretty obvious the feeling is mutual. But you know what? I can't get to each and every one of these people, and oh, I wish I could. But Rock, I can get to you. And when I get to you, I get to each and every one of these people, and that makes me feel real good. And this is how I'm gonna get to you, Rock. This week on Raw, you're gonna be in a match with a man who defeated you 1-2-3 in the past, the world's strongest man, Mark Henry. Now, let me tell you, in this matchup with the world's strongest man, Mark Henry, if you don't win the match by pinfall or submission, Rock, you won't have to worry about being the people's champion. You'll be just one of the people because your services will be no longer required here in the World Wrestling Federation.
What?
That's
He's gonna
right.
be out?
You're not going to have a job if you don't beat Mark Henry by submission or pinfall. If you do, you go right into the Survivor Series, right where you think you belong. You see, Rock, you have to understand something. Since you're the people's champion, you carry the weight of all of these people on your back. And this people's champion stuff, the people's eyebrow, the people's elbow, since you carry the weight of all these people on your back, you're nothing but the people's ass.
Oh, that's heavy. McMahon's saying it's all or nothing for The Rock tomorrow night on Raw.
Well, hold on, jabroni. Make no mistake about it. The Rock says he would much rather be the people's ass than to ever kiss yours.
Whoa! The Rock!
You smell what The Rock is cooking?
Tomorrow night on Raw! shot is at stake. The Rock's career is on the line.
Plus, X-Pac has challenged The Undertaker to go one-on-one, and Stone Cold Steve Austin will be in the house.
Shane will be a referee tomorrow night on Raw. Mr. McMahon will be there. For Jay Z and Michael Cole, thanks for joining us on Heat.
That's why it was done in such an original way. Like, it's the same reason why Ric Flair was, as much as he was a heel, he was popular. Because he would threaten people with Space Mountain and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's a kind of dialect that you just don't hear on the streets every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one thing to go out there and go, this Sunday night, I'm going to beat you up. It's another thing altogether to hear, this Sunday night at the, you know, Superdome, brother, I'm going to, you know.
I'm going to eat your wife's poontang pie.
That's right. I'm going to lay the smacketh down on your candy ass and all this sort of jazz, right? When it was first coming out, it was like, that is the funniest shit I've ever heard. I had a friend at the time who, you know, he hadn't watched, like a lot of us, we had skipped over the job as the job period where the dumpster drosies and the, you know, the people with jobs.
Yes.
He had skipped over that. And what was bringing us back was Stone Cold and The Rock. And I remember having that debate in probably, I don't know, must have been 97 or maybe even 98. But having that debate of, he had a little poster of The Rock on his wall. I think he tore it out of a magazine or something.
Yeah.
You know, but this was like the early years. But as time goes on, there's only so much of that original material that one could generate.
Right.
And eventually it's, let's play the hits. And it's strange because his career was actually pretty short comparatively to a lot of other people's.
Yep.
You know, before he moved on to Hollywood. But the truth is, he was ready to go anyway because that act had been fine-tuned and was not getting any better because he was repeating himself and, as we say, playing the hits.
And most likely, if he did not transition out of wrestling into Hollywood, maybe it would have been a little bit of diminishing returns. And don't get me wrong.
It already was.
Yeah.
For a couple of years before he made Hollywood. I keep saying Hollywood as if that's a thing. Until he made filmmaking his primary sort of focus.
Mm-hmm.
There was diminishing returns. That's why he had to have those heel runs towards the end. Because people had completely turned on him.
Yeah. And I think that's something that. I understand playing the greatest hits.
Sure.
If I go see X band, and if all they do is
play... The band X.
Yeah. If all they do is play new material that I've never heard of before, probably not going to have the best time.
You know there is a band called X.
I'm familiar.
Okay.
Yeah. But I just don't know any of their songs off the top of my head
right
now.
Los Angeles is their big hit.
There you go. So that... If I went to a concert and they didn't play Los Angeles, I'd probably be upset.
I think right? Everyone would probably be upset.
And I get that and I understand that. Like I said, I understand why it all works.
Sure.
But the reason why it missed the mark with me was for the sake of repeating it again.
Mm-hmm.
God, there's people I could throw under the bus that I'm not going to. But I have interacted with people that acted like The Rock before The Rock, and then when The Rock came around, they started acting like The Rock, and then
even more.
Yes, and it was so put on. And then,
oh, you mean friends, not in the industry?
Yeah, I'm talking about like people that I know in like my life,
right?
And the amount of people that I've actually heard to refer to themselves in the third person. And it's also no different than, you know, Degeneration X for me was also very similar. I'm like, man, like I just, the behavior and.
I mean, they acted like 12-year-olds.
And I didn't like it.
I mean,
but there was a bunch of other people that did.
Right.
And I get it. I understand it. And then going into watching Hogan versus The Rock, you and I come from different time periods of popularity.
Right.
So you were around for the Hulkamania era.
Right.
I was not around for the Hulkamania era, per se. I was more engaged when Hulk Hogan was painting his beard. and playing air guitar and never defending a championship, even though he had it for too long.
I've said it once. I'll say it again. No one is happier than when Hulk Hogan is playing air guitar on a championship belt as he's coming out to Voodoo Child. Look at the smile on his face. He's got the world by the balls.
Yes. And the fucking the feather boas and the airbrush boots and the bandana. And it was in the hot dog skin.
Yeah. He was even more tan than when he was in the yellow and red somehow.
Yeah.
Like it had gotten out of control.
Yeah. And it wasn't for me.
Right.
It just wasn't for me. And it's okay. I understand why it was for everybody else. I get the popularity. It's impossible to deny
everyone
in that
hated
match.
Heel Hulk Hogan.
The NWO was immensely popular.
Yeah. No, not all of them.
Yeah.
The outsiders and select members were immensely popular.
Yep.
Hulk Hogan was the reason why that group was still heels because people hated Hulk Hogan, which is why they eventually ended up splitting them in two and having a red and black and a Hollywood, because fucking there was no bigger heat magnet than Hulk Hogan. And there was no one more beloved, it seemed, than Kevin Nash at the time.
Yeah. And that, regardless of the, like I said, so I watched this match and I get why. I understand why, but I'm just sitting there and it ends up, it's very rare that I'm so offended by something that I start like taking out a scalpel to dismantle it. And I found myself.
I'm interested in hearing what you have to say, because I mean, I remember that match. If memory serves, that they were going into the ring with Rock booked as the babyface and Hogan booked
as the
heel.
Yes.
And the crowd was not on board with that program. And The Rock actually had the wherewithal to go, all right, I'm going to start doing heel stuff.
No, not necessarily. The way that match went down was that they both did their shtick and everyone loved it. Like that's like the build up to the match was absolutely. I think that the NWO, which was Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, and Hulk Hogan, ended up assaulting The Rock.
Yes, the bastardized NWO.
And then he ends up getting put in an ambulance, and then Hulk Hogan hits the ambulance with a semi truck. Right, like the match was. They start with a tie-up to where they're moving each other in the tie-up, but they're not actually moving each other, and they're just holding it.
Sure.
And
Hogan was way, 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 way past his prime.
Way past his prime is one thing, right? But, like I said, like the little tiny technical details, and I see them happen in wrestling schools, right? Like, I can tell the difference between somebody with good training and bad training and how they move each other in a tie-up, right? You know, and Hogan's always been guilty of not being the most fundamentally sound wrestler in the ring.
Fundamentally sound.
Right. And then he has some good stuff. Dude can throw a great clothesline. You know, dude had a really good elbow drop. You know what I'm saying? The dude's big boot was pretty good. But as far as like little tiny micro picking, right?
Which you're nitpicking.
Yeah. And I don't nitpick things too much because like, oh, you know.
I mean, you're talking about two of the biggest draws in the history of the industry.
Yeah. So what the fuck do I know? And right, what's the point of even bringing it up? But other than you asking me
to bring
it up, believe me, I'm completely aware, which is why I normally don't go on a public forum, but you put a microphone in my mouth and you put me in a situation where you want my opinion.
Right.
And I'm giving you my opinion.
Well, I'm hearing it. Let's go.
And it was just one of those things is that even Casey watched the match and she is like, it doesn't even look like they're trying. And I think that once again, that's the thing is that it's offensive to me.
Did you watch it on mute?
No.
Okay. Just checking.
No,
go on.
I watched it with all the crowd noise.
Okay.
And like I said, I understand that they were the most over acts in professional wrestling.
I'm not insinuating anything. Right. I just want to be clear. Sometimes we watch stuff on mute.
I always watch wrestling with sound on.
Got it.
Yeah, I always watch wrestling with sound on because I listen to the crowd reactions to what they're doing.
Right.
And the whole entire time I'm just asking myself, why are people reacting to this? Right?
Because they're two of the biggest draws in the history of the industry.
Correct. And then I oftentimes find myself on my own planet.
Right.
And it's only inhabited by me. Welcome. And I'm very lonely.
Welcome to my headspace at all times.
Yes.
Completely disenfranchised from modern society.
Yeah.
I feel like Dr. Manhattan on Mars.
Yes. Yes, yes,
yes.
All
the time.
Yes. And it... And there was some good points of the match. The way that they structured the spots was brilliant because they were able to get their shtick in. Mm-hmm. And it was just something, like I said, like I can remember exactly how I felt back then turning it off. And then I felt justified in turning it off after sitting down and watching it in full.
Right.
And I will say that you can learn something from watching it. I will also say that, like, through promos and things of that, I started playing with catchphrases, and sometimes it works, you know? Yeah. So, like, I understand the formula. The formula works. The charisma of both men, mm-hmm. right? The presence of both men. You are not going... Let's say that you don't know who Hulk Hogan is, which is probably impossible, but let's just imagine that you don't know who Hulk Hogan is, and then you're in Whole Foods, and then all of a sudden... You see this dude with the painted beard. He's got a fucking bandana that says Hollywood. He's wearing white rimmed sunglasses. Right. And for some reason, he's
playing Voodoo Child on his belt.
Yeah. And you would be like, what the fuck is this? This right. is kind of interesting. I'm going to pay attention for a little bit. You know, it's the same thing with The Rock. If The Rock came in and called somebody a Rudy Poo candy ass and then looked at you directly and raised their eyebrow in an over-exaggerated manner. And another comment that Casey made was, it seems like he is making faces that you would make in a cheesy action movie.
Right.
Right? And I also don't like action movies.
Well, you know who probably does like him? Vince McMahon.
Yes.
Because, yeah, that's the thing on Vince.
Oh, I'm sure he was creaming his pants the entire time.
Vince, there's no surprise to me that Kevin Owens was probably not Vince's favorite wrestler. Not just because of the body, but because Kevin Owens played a kind of heel that was disgusted with the concept of audiences. You know, he'd
yes.
come out with a look on his face like, fuck everyone. But that's not what Vince McMahon wants. Vince McMahon wants someone who's so over the top. And it's obvious, it's never more obvious than in what he does. You've seen Vince McMahon make all those sort of, when someone's just talking to him and you see his face and his eyes are going all crazy and his mouth is opening and you know,
yeah.
like that's just him standing around. So how do you think fucking, you know, him delivering lines or just walking down the aisle is going to be? That's what he wants. Over the top fucking characters that are preposterously inhuman.
Right. And that does work, you right. know, like I'll always go back to when I had the opportunity to wrestle in Tennessee and I wrestled out there the way that I knew that they would react to it. You sure. know what I'm saying? Which is so far out of me as a human sure. being.
Begging off, crossing the hands. Oh, please.
Absolutely. And like giggling when I get one over on them and like antagonizing the right. crowd and. So like I said, it's just one of those things that I saw it for what it was, and then I also don't feel like for the long haul I connect a lot of what The Rock did with the Attitude Era, which is also another reason why I do not go back and remember the Attitude Era fondly. Mm-hmm. I also feel like I'm on my own planet because I did not view that as a great time for wrestling, in my opinion. For the industry in a whole, I'm absolutely wrong. But for myself,
for your particular opinion, your tastes,
yes,
of pro wrestling, you like people who can. You like the Benoits of the world.
I like
guy couldn't cut a fucking promo to save his life,
right.
but he could put on a 5-star classic.
I would rather watch Kurt Angle and Brock Lesnar 10 times in a row than watch Hulk Hogan and The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
That's just me, though. And I understand that I'm, once again, I'm in the minority.
Sure.
And
well,
I,
you know,
it.
I think the big divide between the two of us is because you have the benefit of thinking of The Rock's career in retrospect and lumping everything in together, whereas I have the benefit of having experienced it week by week.
But
a little
I did experience it week by week.
All right. But, yeah. But what the time period you're talking about is when those things were completely fine-tuned to a point where he had stopped creating. The yeah. exciting period was that build-up. Same thing with Steve Austin. The build-up to when they stopped creating is that exciting television every week, because every week it was something new, it was something that you hadn't heard. It was fun. It was funny. It was, you know, it was entertaining. But by the time they got to a point where they stopped creating, that's when it was started. The diminishing returns started.
Right.
You know, just week after week of, you know, SmackDown Boulevard and Jabroni Drive and Poontang Pie and Strudel and all this sort of stuff. It's like, yeah, okay, whatever. And that's why eventually both of them, well, not Steve Austin. Steve Austin turned heel because he got bored, but The Rock turned heel because he had to.
Yeah.
Because the crowd turned on him because they were tired of hearing all this horse shit. But the truth is the first few years, you know, The Rock, you know, it comes out as a babyface. It stinks the joint out. So they put him in the Nation of Domination as a heel. He quickly develops that character of The Rock in each and every week for a while. It was so entertaining because there was something new coming out of his mouth every week. Not to mention he was a charismatic and interesting person. And he got so big, it got so popular as that people started cheering him. And they did the right thing because they don't need two top guys. Because it seemed like, oh, he's turning babyface. And they reinforced him being a heel when he sided with Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
And then he became that corporate Rock that drove people insane.
Yeah.
It seems like he was a babyface during that time. It's just people were cheering him. And then they reinforced. Like, this guy's a piece of trash.
I vividly remember the Die Rocky Die chants.
Right.
No, believe me. I remember.
Right. And I mean, that's why it was so big that when Mankind beat him for the title, you know, is he beat him.
Yes.
Because he was the top heel in the company. It wasn't until like when Steve Austin called it quits and The Rock had to become that babyface and Triple H officially became the top heel. And those two were going to carry the company, the creativity really kind of stopped. And then it was just, here's our best two characters. And from there it was, you know, it was coasting at that point. And they coasted on it until he disappeared to make a series of bad movies.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
but there was a 3-4 year stretch where it was fucking entertaining television every week.
Well, Rock, later tonight at WrestleMania 15, you've got the biggest match of your career. And you've got to be feeling very confident now that there is no doubt the Big Show Paul White is with the corporation.
You're damn right. I'll tell you what, Stone Cold Steve Austin, you wish Paul White was on your side. You wish that Paul White was not on the Rock side. But I'll tell you what, you come out here, hold the mic up, jabroni, for the Rock slaps a taste out of your mouth. You come out here and you spit your little talk about how The Rock comes out and spits his little nursery rhymes. I'll tell you what, the great one has a little nursery rhyme for you, Stone Cold, and it goes like this. Mary had a little lamb. Well, I'll tell you what, piss on the lamb, piss on Mary, and piss on you. The Rock is gonna go out there tonight and do what he does best. And let's lay the smack down on your Rudy Poo. Ah, hey, don't do it. Don't do it, because The Rock guarantees to prove to you, this goof holding the camera, this chick gawking at The Rock, he will prove to the millions and millions of The Rock's fans exactly why The Rock is the great one, exactly why The Rock is the chosen one, and exactly why The Rock is, without a shadow of a doubt, the best damn WWF champ there ever was, if you smell. Hey, Philly, this ain't sing along with the champ. If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
And from what I understand, there's some movies that he made that were good, but I've never seen any of them.
Yeah, I'm not watching The Mummy 2 or fucking Scorpion King. I thought that shit was corny as shit.
I have never seen, to this day, I've still never seen one movie with The Rock in it.
Oh, hold on. Let's see. Now, he was he's the only redeeming quality, him and Vince Vaughn, in that Get Shorty sequel, Be Cool. That movie was the shits, and he was the only good part in it. Thank God.
Yeah.
By the way, Get Shorty, fantastic movie. I can't believe the sequel was so bad.
Hey,
have you ever seen Get Shorty?
I don't think I have.
God damn, it's so hilarious. But somehow that sequel is the worst.
I saw Eight Heads in a Duffel Bag. That was a good movie.
I guess that's kind of related. Let's see. He did a remake of Walking Tall?
Yes, and I'm a big Christopher Walken fan, but I still haven't seen it.
It wasn't bad. What else have I seen The Rock in? I've not seen any I saw Fast and Furious 1, and I recognized it right away as, hey, this is just Point Break, but with Japanese cars instead of
instead of
surfboards. No, I recognized it. I went, oh, okay, and then they made 9 more sequels. And I was like, I'm not going to see any of this shit.
Yep. But there's a lot of people that buy tickets to that stuff.
They're the biggest. It's the biggest franchise of the new millennium.
And
I've not seen one of them.
So if I can tail off a little bit into, since we're talking about his influence in other media.
Hold on. I got to find a list of his movies. Because I'm interested in which ones I've seen. Because he's in at least 8 movies a year.
Yeah, he's in a lot.
It's strange that I can't remember any of them past a certain point.
I couldn't tell you. That's the only problem with me is that I can genuinely tell you I haven't seen any.
Oh, we're going to find this out.
I've actively avoided them as much as
you've
can.
You've gone out of your way. Now, this is a level of hatred that says more about you and less about him.
I'm okay with that. Listen.
What? That's spiteful.
Yeah, I'm okay
with negative energy.
You want to know what, though? I'm tired of living in a world where people pick and choose what they're mad at, right? I pick my horse and bet.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
You're reinforcing what you're saying.
Yeah. Like, dude, all I'm saying is, man, is that I don't like action movies. Okay?
None of them.
I don't like action movies. I love superhero movies until they become action movies.
What about Predator?
I can honestly tell you that I'm not the biggest Predator fan. Like, I am
Terminator.
Terminator 2 is a different one. Like, I'll give you T2. T2 is good.
What about T1?
I like Terminator 2 better.
Ah, fuck you.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. Believe me, man. Like, listen, I'm a different breed of duck, dude. I get it. I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I just, like, it's this weird thing. Like, for instance, the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Watching all those movies up until the Avengers. Once they got to the Avengers and it just became, it's a fight. There's an explosion. Here comes another fight. There's some more explosions. Mm-hmm. This character dies.
I think you're skipping over all the jokes. Way too many jokes in those movies.
Right. Well, regardless, the second that it becomes an action movie, I'm checked out. You know, like the origin stories, absolutely love them. Love to see the character development and stuff like that, but the second that it becomes like big budget CGI explosion fest, not the biggest fan. It just, I don't know why. It's hard to explain, but it does not resonate with me.
Okay. Well, look, for the longest time, I didn't like that shit either. They're corny. Now I can watch them and appreciate the corniness. You know what I mean? Like, I could put on a Sylvester Stallone, like, say, one of the Rambos, because it's so preposterous. This one guy is killing fucking 800 people in a matter of an hour and a half.
Yeah.
In the most gruesome ways possible.
And
ridiculous.
And I should probably give it another try, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, as far as Rambo goes, you know, I like horror movies, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that'd be fun watching Sylvester Stallone rip somebody's throat out.
God, that last Rambo.
Couldn't tell you.
I've only seen highlights. And it's disgusting.
Hell yeah.
I mean, like, at a certain point, he gets on a, like, a 50 cal machine gun that's, like, mounted on the back of a Jeep.
Mm-hmm.
And starts, and it is gruesome. I don't know, whoever the graphic artist who designed all these people being blown apart. I mean, it's ridiculous. At a certain point, the bad guys throw a baby in a fire. I mean, it's so...
Excellent.
Right. But these are the kind of movies where it's like, yeah, this is an action movie, but it's so preposterous and stupid that it's laughable. I can watch it for the laughing.
Steven Seagal movies, too. It's just funny to watch those just to laugh at them.
Oh, yeah. Well, that guy's breaking everyone's legs and stuff.
Yep.
At a certain point, and I forget what movie it is. Not the one on the submarine. It's an early one, but he
Under Siege.
Yeah, he shoots a guy with a shotgun, and his leg comes completely off.
Hell yeah.
But, it's interesting. I remember having a conversation with you early on where you were like, I don't like The Rock because he's a selfish performer. And it's like, yeah, you're right. That makes complete sense. But it made sense to me that a lot of people during his heyday, it was as the cliche goes, and I hate cliches, but it was a Shark Tank. And you had to be a little bit selfish or you'd get buried, sadly.
Oh, yeah.
During that time period.
And I'm aware of it, but that also justifies my feeling of it more is like, why reward bad behavior? You know,
mm-hmm.
Like it doesn't make sense to me why that would be rewarded. But as far as the Rock's movies go.
Well, you know why?
Huh.
Once again, Vince McMahon liked that environment. Hey, everyone, you should be putting your toe in someone's empty eye socket to reach for that brass ring.
Right.
You know, cut each other's throats to get ahead. Makes for a fucking volatile locker room, but it makes for maybe entertaining TV for him.
Well, entertaining TV for him, but once again, like I said, it's just...
I'm not sticking up for his fucking ideas.
Right. Like, there's more than one blazing issue. So now let's... Did you find a list of movies? Did you find one on there that you like to mention?
I skimmed through it. Turns out I skipped a lot of them too.
Yeah. There you go. So
I did watch Jungle Cruise recently. I did think it was odd that this guy who was 6'3" and jacked to the gills was commanding a fucking boat in whatever jungle that he was in. I do like Moana, but I'm mostly into that for the Lin-Manuel Miranda songs. And that was about it. I've skipped everything else. I didn't watch Rampage or Skyscraper or Earthquake or any of this other corny shit.
Yep.
For the same reason that you say. I don't like modern day action movies because they're missing that laughable part. Kind of like the part where you can laugh at these things because Arnold Schwarzenegger was ridiculous. This guy barely has a command over the English language.
Yeah.
Same thing with Sylvester Stallone. He could barely speak English.
I loved Kindergarten Cop.
Oh, God, that movie was the shits.
Yeah, I love that movie.
Well, then you would love The Rock series of Disney's movies, like Tooth Fairy and... whatever. What were the other ones?
I like Twins.
Well, Twins is funny because it's got Danny DeVito in it.
Yeah.
And you get to watch Arnold Schwarzenegger lose his virginity.
Yeah. It's pretty funny. But so let's talk about every day that I go to the gym.
Oh, boy.
And every day I go to the gym and I end up seeing the Brahma Bull on some bit of athletic wear that is splattered with some bullshit inspirational quote.
Mm.
And then I end up going on YouTube, and in my feed, I'll end up seeing, let's look at The Rock's fridge for men's health. Mm-hmm. And he proceeds to go on this, I wake up every day and I eat like 6,000 calories.
Right.
And I do this, 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 and this. And then
I've seen him explain this and I've seen it put into print that he has to eat something like 10,000 calories a day. And it's like he's eating six meals a day, something like that, where it's like you're eating it's basically a lot of chicken, fish, rice and and broccoli, I think.
Yeah, and then you have the other people that
But he also was living in the gym. Between every meal, powerlifting.
And he's also has millions of dollars
right.
at his beck and call at all times. And then you have other fitness channels that will actually inform you how science works,
mm-hmm.
right? And will actually inform you the things that you really need to do in order to properly gain muscle and things of that nature. And it's not just a problem with The Rock in general. It's more of a problem with the fitness industry. And also you can connect it to the filmmaking industry as well. And
we're talking about the gas.
It sets a false precedence in order to achieve those types of results.
Sure.
Naturally. And unfortunately, I think one of my biggest heroes in the fitness industry right now is the dude that plays Mac on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
Because what's his name again?
Oh, don't make me pull it up. I don't know.
Well,
is it Evan something?
You go and look at his stuff, Rob Mackle.
Yeah, Rob McElroy.
Yeah, Rob McElroy. You go and you watch any video that he's ever done, and it's always tongue-in-cheek. And he'll go along the lines of, like, well, you know, men like me and The Rock, we just produce a lot of testosterone naturally. And naturally, we produce so much testosterone that it just helps us get buff.
Right.
You know, and then he'll also say, yeah, it's a completely easy lifestyle to live. You just have to have somebody tell you exactly what to eat. And then you have to make sure to sleep for at least 10 hours a day. And then you have to make sure to spend this much money on groceries and drugs. And I don't understand why everyone can't do this.
Right.
And to me, that's like the really big disservices is one, for anyone that's listening, yes, it is absolutely possible to achieve good results without the use of PEDs, performance-enhancing drugs.
Mm-hmm.
However, the type of results that you were seeing on these Hollywood megastars...
Yeah, where they get a job every few months that pays them millions of dollars...
Yeah.
The rest of their time could be spent eating and living in the gym, I guess.
And also having a doctor do their blood work and tell them exactly what dosage of fucking testosterone and DECA and trenbolone that you have to take in order to actually look like that.
Sure.
And that's one thing, too, that I think that you...
I think Stallone has been forthcoming about using gas.
More people are becoming forthcoming about using gas, which I'm thankful for because
I've not heard it.
Yeah. The one thing that I'll say is that I have used it.
Sure.
It has helped me as far as recovery, and it has helped me achieve results that I may have had a very difficult time achieving naturally. And anytime anybody asks me for advice or help, and they privately contact me, I will tell them, before I give you any information, this is what you need to know.
Right.
Because I do not want to lie to you.
Right.
I do not want to sell you a fucking t-shirt. I do not want to sell you my energy drink. I'm not trying to sell you my workout supplement. Right. And that's, to me, one of the... Shaquille O'Neal, right? All of a sudden, like, he's selling these testosterone booster pills. I'm like, yeah, it works. Yeah, testosterone works when you get synthetic testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
The booster pills can be taken care of as far as diet goes. And you can do things with your diet naturally to boost your testosterone. But like I said, when people are not forthcoming, I think that it is irresponsible.
Do you think Finn Balor's on the junk?
I mean, I wouldn't.
That guy's got him and Ricochet. These guys got... fucking 10-pack abs.
Well, you go look at Finn Balor before he got diced to the gills, and you go look at Pac, and you go look at Ricochet.
Buddy Matthews. And
you go look at any of these guys before all of a sudden one night. Go look at Eddie Guerrero. You know?
Right.
Like,
well, Buddy Matthews and Pac, I mean, they got big shoulders and all this shit.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about these guys who are slender, but have fucking really tight muscles.
Right. And that's the thing is,
they
is
got, that, like, that 0% body fat, son.
And I listen, I'm not going to go on.
You can't bury anybody.
I'm not to mention
you don't know.
But not to mention that I don't know, but at the same time, like, one of my favorite professional wrestlers in the world right now is Alexander Hammerstone, who, if you go on his pro wrestling tees, you can just buy a t-shirt that's on his site that just says testosterone on it. Right. He's extremely open about his use. And here's another misconception about performance enhancing drugs. You don't just get to take the drugs and they make you buff. You have to work really hard.
Yeah.
So I will say this about The Rock. I commend the fact that he is hardworking. It's mm-hmm. undeniable. But at the same time, there is an elephant in the room that gets larger and larger every single day.
Rock here on SmackDown. You're moments away from your matchup against Triple H. And I've got...
Finally, The Rock has come back to Long Island. But before The Rock begins, let The Rock ask you a question. Were you just picking your nose?
Oh, it got you, Herbie.
No, The Rock saw you picking your nose. You actually want to stand out in front of The Rock's locker room and pick your nose? The Rock, I'll tell you what, you want to act like a little kid? The Rock says, take your finger and put it in your nose.
No, no.
Stick it in, Hermie!
No!
And you want to act like a kid, then you just stand there with your finger in your nose while the Great One speaks. And speaking of noses, tonight, it's going to be The Rock against Triple H. You know, Triple H, you actually think that The Rock did you a favor by beating Rikishi, allowing you to name your stipulation with your match against Austin. Well, that couldn't be farther from the truth, Triple H, because you see, the fact of the matter is this, is The Rock didn't win for you, The Rock won for himself, and tonight, The Rock is gonna do something else for himself. You think, Triple H, that you're just gonna skate through The Rock Show, skate through SmackDown, just because nothing's on the line? Well, the truth of the matter is this, true, no WWF title on the line, true, no stipulations on the line, there is one thing on the line, Triple H. Your ass is on the line. Oh. Stick your finger back, Hermie.
Glad Hermie wasn't picking his ass. Excuse me.
You see, Triple H, The Rock isn't gonna kick that ass just for himself. No, 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 no. The Rock is gonna beat it for one more person. And that person is the WWF champion, Kurt Angle. Oh, Kurt Angle. Don't think that The Rock has forgotten about you. The Rock hasn't forgotten about you, Kurt Angle. The Rock has said it before, he'll say it again. The countdown is on 10 days from now. Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. You see, Kurt Angle, get ready, because The Rock is going to No Way Out. The Rock is beating you at No Way Out, and The Rock is going on to WrestleMania. So Kurt Angle, to Triple H, to Vince McMahon, to Stone Cold Steve Austin himself, you can't stop The Rock.
So it was said that the WWE's wellness policy did not allow for any anabolic steroids or estrogen blockers or
yes.
synthetic testosterones or whatever. And then Brock Lesnar tested positive in the UFC for, I think, estrogen blockers or
yes.
something, which led to Mark Hunt. I'm saying those two names separately.
Yeah, man.
Mark Hunt, his opponent, was knocked unconscious by this guy who was hopped up on the fucking the goof juice.
Yeah.
And he to the point where he sued the UFC over it because it's like, yeah, you let this me get into the ring with this fucking goddamn gigantic ball of testosterone.
Yes.
And beat the shit out of me. I don't know what the results were, but the point is somebody brought it up to the WWE that, hey, what about your guys' wellness policy? And you remember what the word was?
I can't remember.
Special attractions aren't subject to the WWE wellness policy.
And there's isn't that there's great? No more special of an attraction than Brock Lesnar.
That they, it's like... he's special, so it's like, dude, fuck you.
Well, but that's also the other big problem. Mm-hmm. I think that we're honestly probably about 5 years away, right, in my opinion, to where the lid's gonna kind of be a little bit more open on the topic, and it's not going to be so frowned upon, right? And I think
until this happens every now and then.
Yeah,
this it happens. Pardon the expression, in cycles. But it happens until something bad happens, and then they hit the reset button.
Right.
And then a number of years go by, and then something bad happens, and then they hit the reset. The problem is when you open the floodgates, and it's in a aesthetically driven industry.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not exclusively, but it's part of it, because people, they don't know about people's cycle history or any of that stuff. They just see a guy, you know, we'll take Buddy Matthews. He's a guy who's in incredible fucking shape.
Yep.
I don't know what he's on. You know, I don't know what his diet is or what he does to provide that figure, you know, but let's say he wasn't that size, you know, he would be less important probably.
Agreed.
You know, cause he's just almost a super talented, but generic white guy.
Yeah.
The problem is you open those floodgates and it leads to abuse, because even though it's not a competitive sport, it is a competitive industry,
mm-hmm.
and people will get out of control trying to get the upper edge on their competitors.
Yeah.
And that's why it always comes to a head, because people get out of control and then someone's fucking heart explodes or, you know, whatever it is, you know, with Benoit, it was like, he was having roid rage. It was a serious backlash.
Yeah.
And it didn't help that Eddie Guerrero died right after. And because they can't just go, hey, this guy had a drug and alcohol problem, but they can point to what size he was when he died and what size he was just 10 years prior.
Right.
You know, that's the problem.
Well, but they're the way that it's portrayed in the media and the knowledge that people actually have of how it scientifically works is also another huge problem.
Yeah, they don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
Yeah, and it's just very easy to vilify anything that people don't understand.
Well, dude, Benoit.
Yeah.
I mean, that roid rage conversation happened for months after the deaths.
Well, yeah.
But really, no one had the wherewithal to go, yo, what about CTE? Because it was not a conversation that was happening.
Well,
yet.
Everybody wanted to talk about how his son had anabolic steroids in his system. Oh, he's a bodybuilder and he was giving his son steroids because he had fucking fragile X syndrome, right? Mm-hmm. Steroids aren't just to make you look good,
mm-hmm.
right? Steroids are used in a myriad of different type of medical conditions and things of that nature. For those that are not educated and that don't know, there is a YouTube documentary that is free called Bigger, Stronger, Faster. And if you are curious to have a better understanding of how steroids function and what they do, feel free to watch that documentary. It's very insightful.
But you think that the stigma that the average person has towards this business is going to go away in a few years?
No, I think the stigma that people have towards steroids is going to go away in a few years.
Okay.
That's what I think. Because
that's what I just said.
But I'm talking about I'm talking about steroids as overall. I'm not trying to connect it to the industry, per se.
I see.
You know how you can go and get collagen refills and injections at beauty shops and things of that nature.
How do you think I stay so young?
Of course.
No, of course not. Yeah, I have no fucking idea.
That facelift looks great on you. So it's,
I got fucking crow's feet. I'm gray hair. I'm trying to just age gracefully.
Yeah. So it's very easy to get access to these small things that you didn't have easy access to before. We're 5 years away from being able to walk into specific testosterone clinics.
Mm-hmm.
They already exist, but they're not as popular as the collagen places are right now, sure. But they will be. And more people are discovering that testosterone as a hormone for men is actually healthy to take.
Well, it is, because at a certain point it just stops.
Correct.
Which is why I'm dying.
No, that's not why you're dying.
Oh, well.
We're all dying. Every single day we're closer to death, good sir. But
sound positive.
All I know is that I'm thinking that steroids are going to be viewed in a different light within the next couple of years. I feel like it's going to be, once again, like the war on drugs, right? In the early 90s and the DARE program and the GREAT program and all that other stuff.
They had a song, didn't they? DARE?
Yes.
Do you remember it?
No.
Oh, shucks.
Yeah.
I almost wanted to hear, I want to hear a verse.
Yeah, no, all I know is that drugs are really expensive, and that's what the acronym should be.
Never heard that.
Yeah. So, but they, like I said, like medicinal marijuana, mm-hmm. you know, it being able to walk in and get recreational marijuana. And it's just, I think that as time goes on, the research that's being done with psychedelics for depression mm-hmm. and things of that nature, these things that used to be vilified and no,
you, hey man, psychedelics can fry your brain if you fucking
they absolutely can if you get out of control.
And even if you don't get out of control, if I'm being honest, they're just people, because you just can't fuck around with the your chemicals in that way.
Well,
it doesn't affect everyone the same way.
It doesn't affect everyone the same way, but unfortunately, there's studies now that are showing otherwise, right?
Oh, and I'd love to see this study, this guy in the lab coat and dreads.
Yeah, listen, all I'm saying is, man, is don't be surprised. The world is changing around us, mm-hmm. and I can tell you this much right now. I was prescribed Effexor, which was an antidepressant.
Sounds like a supervillain.
Yes. Oh, it made you feel like a supervillain, right? And
it was
called Effexor.
And it was a what?
It was an antidepressant.
Oh, okay.
And it made me feel violent. And I had to stop taking it.
Jesus.
Okay. So the danger.
What do you mean it made you feel violent?
It made me feel violent towards myself and others.
Like you wanted to punch the walls and stuff?
Yep.
That's weird.
Yep.
I can't even comprehend what that is.
And I had to flush them down the toilet.
Aww.
Right? You
couldn't sell them on the black market?
Nah, I wasn't interested in drugs that much anymore.
Right.
Right. But all I'm saying is that I'm older now. I'm 37 years old. And I've taken acid one time in my life. You feel what I'm saying?
And like, it was recent.
And it was recently. And I can understand why it is used for clinical depression and sure. why it could be used and why it would probably be a safer alternative to a medication that is given to you that is made to numb your responses to shit, you know, like, and I think that it's going to cause a big rift in the pharmaceutical community, because eventually people are going to realize all these things with crazy side effects, right? The pills that you're hearing about, like, oh yeah, you got heartburn, go ahead and take this pill. By the way, it might make you vomit blood, right? You might end up shitting an intestine and you could die, or you might have some suicidal thoughts along with it. You know what I'm saying? It's just the way that it's presented to the public, and people are able to make their opinion based upon it.
Check this out.
Tell me.
Watch me turn this around. So you're saying you are blaming The Rock for people having unrealistic ideas as far as health?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, look, I'm going to say this. I fucking love The Rock. Now, I have the benefit of going through his time, that developing time period where each and every week it was something new and something interesting. And I don't just, I can pick out the time period of any person's career that was their apex and go, man, they had a fucking run there. And I generally don't think about the bad parts, like the post years where it gets sad and the pre years where they didn't know what the fuck they were doing. In the same way that I'll pretend that this recent Ric Flair match never happened.
Yep.
In fact, I'll pretend that his,
have you watched it?
No, I don't want to.
Okay.
But the point is I think, you know, just like last week we talked about Gino Hernandez. Gino Hernandez really had about a 2-year run that was really fantastic.
Yes.
He probably wrestled for 10, 15 years, but only two of those were really spectacular. And then he martyred himself by ODing in the end. You know? And that's ultimately why he makes our list of one of the greats, because for 2 years he was the shit and it was cut short. The Rock had a similar 2 to 4 year period where this guy was the fucking hugest heel in the industry. And then he was a great baby face for a while. And then the creation machine just kind of stopped and it was just the Eagles playing the hits. All right, here comes Hotel California. It's like, yeah, Hotel California.
Speed it up.
I get it, you know. You know, the same thing with Steve Austin. Before the catchphrases. You know, before the catchphrases really became robotic, you know, he would always say, and that's the bottom line. That would be a good way to put a bow on a promo, no yep. matter what you said. But before they became robotic and sort of uninteresting, he had a good 2-3 year period where his apex was as good as anyone's.
The initial Austin 316 promo to this day stands to me as one of the greatest
right.
promos of all time.
Right. But I can pick out these guys as Gino Hernandez, Steve Austin, The Rock, any number of these guys and look at their apex in that period where they were at their maybe not their most popular, because a lot of fans, they like the here and the hits. And I can say, God damn, that was fucking good. And The Rock was good for a few years. He may not have put on some sort of 5-star classics, but he was a good, it's going to be strange to say it. I'm sure you'll probably go, ugh. But he was a good worker in that he knew how to exaggerate things so that they were comically over the top, the yeah. way Vince McMahon likes.
And I'm not and,
shaking
yeah.
the leg for the kicks and spitting in the hand instead of, you could just throw a punch, but he decides to spit
yeah.
in his hand and then punch you with it. You know, that stuff like that really drove his matches where the crescendos were normally pretty good.
No, and psychology wise, he was smart with the way he structured his stuff. That's right. That's one credential I'll give him.
Right.
Like I said, I understand why, and I get it. His matches were structured in a very smart, intelligent way. And if anything, I actually learned from watching his stuff.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
He had good trainers.
Well, Dr. Tom, baby. Yeah. You know, and that's one thing that I really will say, that when it comes, Fed style works. Okay, for all those indie kids that are listening to this, Fed style does work.
We're talking about the WWE's training system.
Not just the training system, but just the way they structure their matches.
Right.
It does
It's work. One way of doing things.
And it's a successful way of doing things.
Sure.
So instead of trying to reinvent the wheel sometimes you have to actually see how the wheel moves.
Yeah.
You know, and I would advise anyone to structure some of their stuff the way that they see it. I have taken things from The Rock's matches, most certainly have, and I can at least sing his credits on that. You know what I'm saying? Now, granted, when it comes to my snobby technical opinions and the sharpshooter that he puts on and the people's elbow, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's, I'd rather see Hase throw a Uranage as opposed to The Rock Bottom.
Turnbuckle Boogie is a Devo Looter production and is produced by Timothy Styles and Cody Hancock, with web production and music provided by Timothy Styles. For more information, go to turnbuckleboogie.com. And for booking information on Cutthroat Cody Hancock, go to cutthroatcody.com. See you next Monday.